Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Nancy Givens?
Nope, wrong number.
Oh, sorry. Who am I speaking to?
Becky, who's this?
Are you over 18, Becky?
Barely.
Good enough for me. Hey, I'm calling from your local service provider with a seasonal survey for our customers.
I'm really busy.
It's just a few questions. Let's start with, what's your favorite scary movie?
Look, don't call back, okay? Damn it. What are you supposed to be? I'm Florence Nightingale. Aren't you supposed to trick me or something? Careful. Paid a lot for these bad boys.
Trick or treat!
Happy Halloween, punk.
Welcome to Horror Fatale Almost Live. I'm your host, The Fatale. And as you might have guessed from the clip that you just heard, we're going to discuss Season 3 of Scream the series, which made its return this year after being gone for 3 years. I think 2016 was the very last episode of Season 2. I cannot tell you anything that happened in those 2 years because I didn't bother to try to remember or look or read or rewatch or anything. Don't get me wrong, I actually liked the series, but, well, it was a little bit better than Scream Queens, which I kind of liked as well, but being that I was a huge fan of the Scream franchise, I watched the series nonetheless, even though that first season took a whole lot of getting used to. And by the time the second season rolled around, you're used to the characters and they'd added more characters and all that stuff or whatever. What they've done this season with season 3 was actually really smart. They aired it over 3 days, 2 episodes a day. So it was like watching, I guess, a movie of a week, a movie of a day, or what have you. I think that was really smart. Get it over with before we could tire or whatever. And it's a little harder to tune in every week for not a whole lot. And the series is a little thin. It's really hard, though, to do a whole series like this where the whole season is dedicated to figuring out who's behind the mask. So they also did another really smart thing, was they changed venues and locations. So we have a whole new group of kids in a whole new different place. Welcome to the ATL. Because we took them to Atlanta and we've made it more urban, and it's mostly an African-American cast, which was interesting and pretty good and different for horror, as you know. So it was produced by Queen Latifah, which is interesting. So you had all of this musical heavyweights. Queen Latifah produced it. You have, as you heard in that clip, or you may not have known, but it's Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter, did that very first scene. The nerdy kid is played by Biggie Smalls and Faith Evans' son. Big Boy from Outkast plays a cop in the show. And I'm trying to think. I forgot about Tyga. Tyga is the half-brother of the main character. So that was pretty neat. They had all the Atlanta musical acts represented. Very well done. So it's also interesting, and I don't know if it was on purpose, but it switched from MTV to VH1. And for some reason, VH1 has become a more of an African-American kind of ethnic kind of scene lately. I don't know why, if that's on purpose or how that happened. But it's just interesting to me that they switched it from MTV to VH1, where they have, it's the home of the Basketball Wives franchise and Love and Hip Hop and all those shows, and now it's Scream. So make of that what you will. It's really not important, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me one more time. This might irritate you. I hope it doesn't, but it'll make sense in a second.
Dion Elliott.
I'm here, Miss Bale.
You know the rules. Please report to detention.
Oh, great. The jock and the cheerleader. Now it's a real breakfast club.
The jock, princess, the geek, the rebel.
Don't you dare try stuffing me in one of your boxes.
What about you?
That's easy. She had a basket case.
Just promise me you're good. That's not like last time.
I'm good. I'm not seeing ghosts anymore. I had a brother named Marcus, but we went out on Halloween when we was kids. I left my twin brother to die. Man, who is this?
Trick or treat, Dion. Aren't you curious about who I'm going to kill?
Somebody's wearing this costume, threatening to kill all of us.
Damn.
It's almost Halloween.
We're gonna have to handle this ourselves.
It's gonna be crazy.
Should we save tonight?
I'm doing whatever it takes to survive.
Aren't you supposed to trick me or something?
Show me your insides? What does that mean?
It means we're in a horror movie. Don't take this the wrong way, but you guys are black. In horror, that's pretty much an insta-kill.
Yeah, I'm a silent assassin.
This here's a reboot. And reboots don't play by rules. Nice camera action.
Okay, so what you just heard was the entire trailer for the entire season 3 of the show. And I was, originally when I recorded this yesterday, I went play by play, blah, 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 but I don't remember a whole lot about what I said. I don't know if I said this, but the computer crashed yesterday before I saved any of it. So this is the part 2 of it. Basically, I didn't hate it like I initially thought I was going to hate it. The bottom line, it's really hard for, you know, a person of a certain age to get into the Screams. Because, and I think that's intentional, honestly, because it's all so meta or what have you. And they really took the meta to the extreme with this. They really were winking at us the entire time, letting us know, you know, this is a horror movie, right? They literally even said that a couple of times. So they were over meta us a little bit. So that took some adjustment and kind of annoyed me a little bit. I was like, we get it. 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 But if you know, suspend your age, and I don't know the ages of everybody that's listening, but if you suspend your age and get into it and remember what you're watching, it was really enjoyable, honestly. I liked the fact, again, like I said earlier, that they moved it to a different location, so you have new characters. And they were hyping up the Breakfast Club angle a lot. Each character is supposed to be, you know, a representation of those characters from that very famous film. And it really centers around Dion. In the beginning of the film, we find that Dion watched his brother. Well, he didn't really watch his brother, as we find out later, but he believed his brother to have been murdered by Hookman. And Hookman was played by the legendary Tony Todd. And anytime you're going to get Tony Todd on screen is an excellent thing, because nobody plays villain like Tony Todd, and he's a horror icon. So I also love the fact that, you know, as a Gen X elder that I am, that they did this, the whole throwback to, you know, our childhood days of the Breakfast Club. And in the very first episode, they do this ghost face party. That shit looked fun. So if anybody wants to throw one of those for Halloween, my birthday next year, I don't care. I would, you know, I already have a ghost face costume, so I'll be there. Or whatever. That's just a side note. But you have, you know, Dion, who's played by this kid that was from Vice Principals and White Boy Rick. And he has a typical savior complex, you know, since his brother died. And then you have Amir, you know, played by Chris Wallace. And again, like I said, he's Biggie and Face Evans' son. And he was the typical nerd character who just really wants to belong. You have Kiki Palmer, who played Kim. And like I said, she's always fun to watch. But like I also said, I have a suspicion that she's not acting, because she's always doing the most. And in this character, she's fighting a good fight. She's out here in the resistance, which I can appreciate. Right on, girl. You have Liv, played by Jessica Sula, who she's a British actress. I tried to do that accent. Didn't work out. Complete fail. But you might recognize her. She was in Split, which was a really good film. She was one of the kidnapped girls, and she plays love interest, and her dad, you know, in the film is a cop. And you know, at the beginning, you already kind of felt he was being red herring, because he started off just really intense, and like, you just knew he was gonna be a problem. Then you have Beth, played by Georgia Wigham, and she's on a show on Netflix called 13 Reasons, which I've never watched, but I think it's a good show. But she plays goth girl in really, well, it's not really goth girl. It's Hollywood's version of goth girl. But I like the character, don't get me wrong. Then you have Manny, who was from Iron Fist. I don't know how many people watch Netflix Iron Fist, but he was on there. I remember him. And he's the gay character. So there you go. You do have The Breakfast Club, or the updated modern version of The Breakfast Club. Also, there was a Tyga in the film as the half-brother, and I swear to God, they were doing Boys in the Hood. You had Dion, who was trying to get a football scholarship to come play for San Diego State, which is kind of weird that they put it in Atlanta, but he was trying to get a scholarship to come play Big Ten in California when the SEC is a thing. And he was in Georgia? I don't see it. Nobody does that. That would be insane. But I guess if you wanted some palm trees and some sand, I guess. But nah. Nobody would leave Georgia and not be, if they were going to have a chance to be a Georgia Bulldog, to come to San Diego State. But okay, let's just ignore that part. Sorry. I know I'm from Alabama, so I'm like, nah, nobody does that. Couple of gripes. They had the wrong war for Tony Todd. He's only in his 50s, and they made that character a Vietnam vet. That would put him in his 70s. You know, somebody should have checked that. He could have been a Gulf War vet. You know, that would have made more sense, and he could have still had just as much trauma. It's very weird that they chose Vietnam, but okay. Another gripe, cornfields in Georgia. Again, from Alabama. I don't think they're cornfields in Georgia, but that was a really neat scene, and it looked really good. So let's, again, suspend reality. Good things. They had some really good bloody kills, which is always a plus. They did red herring us to death, like I said earlier. And again, they overdid the meta. They overdid it. It was just too much. I don't know how many times that they reminded us that we were watching a horror film. They said it at least 6 or 7 times per scene, it felt like. We get it.
But, you know, that is what Scream is always known for. But for some reason, it irked me this time a little bit. It's, you know, it's like drink. Well, I don't know how y'all, but if you were doing drinking game, you would have been flat on your ass by the time you got through. Every time somebody mentioned, we're in a horror movie. They even had Keke Palmer saying they weren't in a horror movie anymore. They were in a buddy cop movie. I was like, oh, Lord, please stop. Spoiler alert. How'd y'all like that effect? Anyway, so the big reveal comes, as you know, and let me set it up before I spoiler you. In the beginning of the film, we had the little boy that left Paris Jackson's house with Candy. And you find, we get a scene later, he's in the alley where this other kid is taking his candy bag and threw it over the fence into the yard of Hookman. Hookman, as you know, was played by Tony Todd. So his twin brother, Dion, shows up and says, well, let me go get your candy. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody, because apparently Dion is the alpha and he's the strong one. He's the football star and all that stuff. So we see both little boys, of course, go over the fence to get the candy bag. And Hookman comes out and grabs one of them, and it looks like he killed him. So the other kid runs away, and we flash forward to 8 years later, which is the now, where Dion's all grown up. And again, like I said, he's this football star living his best Boys in the Hoods moment. And suddenly he starts getting the calls, you know, from the ghost face, and his friends are dying one by one. So we get this backstory with Tyga being his half brother, and something about the dad having a separate family. I guess he Papa was a Rolling Stone, as they say. And the only reason why they found out about each other is because the kid Marcus had been killed by Hookman, and they were all over the news and XYZ. I'm really unsatisfied with that backstory. I didn't understand it. It was a cheap writing tool that they used, but to have Tyga in the film. But nonetheless, Tyga is the half brother, and he's there. He, for some reason, just showed up to be in this kid's life. Tyga also mentions that his mom was destroyed, you know, when she found out about the second family or whatever. I guess he chose to be with the second family. I don't know. But anyway, I think she kills herself, but I don't know how recent the suicide was, because Tyga's real angry at everybody for some reason, in which we find out later. Eventually, we whittled the group down, and, you know, I don't want to say the typical kids, but the weaker links of the crew, like, they get it, of course. And so in the very end, I don't want to forget telling you guys, they red herringed us again, why they had this whole backstory about the main character, the girlfriend. What was her name again? I forgot her name that quickly. Liv being mentally ill. The dad makes sure to tell us that in his red herring moment as well. And so for a little bit, they had you suspecting that Liv was the killer because she's off balance. Turns out it wasn't that. The ghost face, of course, was Tyga, as we had already previously suspected by now. If you were paying attention, you kind of knew that's where they were going with it. But, of course, like a good Scream, especially a throwback to the original one, he had an accomplice. And it turns out the accomplice was the goth girl. The reasoning for Tyga's wanting to murder all of Dion's friends made zero sense. it was really stupid. I get that, you know, it was a knock on that first Scream film where what was his name? Stu? I can't remember. Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich's characters. You know, Skeet kills everybody because Nev Campbell's mom had been sleeping with his father. And Stu just went along with it because that's his best friend, I guess, or whatever. And for some reason, I accepted that then, I guess, because I was a teenager, when that film came out. So I kind of went, oh, okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. This time, as an old lady, this was just stupid. Tyga's angry at the father for leaving him and his mom. He's also angry because, again, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Because during the death that we didn't see at the beginning of the film by Hookman, Hookman never actually killed Marcus. Marcus died running from Hookman. He hid in the trunk of a car and suffocated. And so we found out later that the mom assumed that the surviving kid was Dion because they had switched jerseys earlier. That they didn't show that was off camera. And so when she just saw the kid with Dion's jersey on, she just knew it was Dion. And because Dion was such a good ball player and everybody liked Dion, he wasn't as timid as Marcus was. Marcus just went along with it and said he was Dion. So, okay, Tyga is angry about that. He's angry that Marcus assumed Dion's identity. Now, what's it to him? You know, that made no sense for him to go psychotic and start killing all this kid's friends. Just expose him. Turns out, for some reason that doesn't hold water, the dad introduced Dion to everybody, to Tyga and his mom, and they went to football camp or something to bond for some reason. I don't know why he wouldn't introduce both of the boys to their brother. That made, again, zero sense. But, you know, it's only so much I can suspend of reality. And this was not one of them. It was just a really dumb plot twist. I'm sorry. I couldn't take it. So that was the reason why, you know, Tyga's character was doing, you know, killing everybody and going psychotic. Beth, the goth girl, had previously met Tyga when he came in to get ink because she worked at a tattoo parlor. And she just decided she wanted to go along with it because she's a sociopath and she wanted to kill people. Okay. Again, I guess she's being the Matthew Lillard of the group. So I don't want to appear that I hated it, because I didn't. I just didn't like that ending. I thought it was just, like I said, I don't want to keep calling it dumb, but it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, at the very end, you know, again, meta, they had Keke Palmer to the rescue. So she saves the day and they, you know, tied up in a nice little bow. He gets to go to San Diego State with this girl, Liv, you know, and they live their best California dreams, I guess. And Keke Palmer goes to Georgia Tech, which actually makes more sense than him coming. Never mind. Not into that again. Let's see. I mean, they tied it up, like I said, in a nice little bow. I don't love that kind of screaming, but that's what they did. I don't see the need for a fourth season. Yeah, I'm kind of hoping they've put this to bed. You know, they probably should have, because I don't know. They can't seem to find any more twist for somebody to put on the ghost face mask and kill people. So I think they should just let it go. And hopefully this is it, because I don't see another reason for it. But I don't want to bash it completely and end it on that note. But they did have some good callbacks. I saw a little Shining, you know, a little Halloween too, with the hurt leg scene in there. Liv's running. Even had a little Carrie moment when he's running and he's in the gym and the blood starts dripping. I just knew that, you know, I was like, oh, it's going to have a Carrie moment, but they didn't fulfill that all the way. Overall, it wasn't terrible. It was some mediocre acting, but they're all young. They can get better. Paris, take a class. I guess that's it for it. I apologize because this, I think, was a rambling mess. Because, again, this was the second incarnation of me doing this actual podcast that I had recorded previously that got computer crashed. But next time, I want to discuss a book that I'm reading for my site. It's called Hippie Cult Leader, The Last Words of Charles Manson. And it's by James Buddy Day. And it's not actually out just yet. It comes out August 2019. And I'm going to read it, do a review or a book report on the site. And then I'm going to talk about it with you guys on the next podcast. And no promises, but I might actually be able to have an interview with the author. Ha ha ha, aren't you jealous? So this has been episode 8. Have a good day.
But wait, there's more. Hang on to your seat, baby.
Something happens to you when you leave this town. The farther away, the hazier it all gets. But me, I never left. I remember all of it.
To the losers.
We made an oath.
Swear. If it isn't dead, if it ever comes back, we'll come back to you.
We didn't stop it.
Pennywise.
The clown.
We can't let it happen again.
Cobbling together what was the remainder of my crashed app podcast, they released the trailer for It Chapter 2. I know. If you're paying attention to the website, this is the whole point, so I hope you were, you'll know that I wasn't that thrilled about the teaser that they released earlier with Jessica Chastain as Beverly Marsh 27 years later. It was just okay for me, and I gotta say, now that I've seen the long official trailer, it's still okay. I'm gonna see it because it is it. But like I said in my review of the first film, I'm one of those people that I have a clown thing. I've never liked them since I was a kid. Somebody gave me a clown picture for some reason when I was like 5 or 6. And I like cried and slept under the bed and begged to sleep in my grandmother's room with her. And I had wound up sleeping there for a long time. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the original version of It with Tim Curry as Pennywise and, you know, John Ritter and Harry Anderson and all those people, it's still better. It was still better, even though it was a TV movie. Now, the new version was gorgeous. It was beautifully shot. I didn't actually have any problems with anybody's performance, but it was not in the least bit scary. And that could be because you already know the story and all that, and you have a relationship to the previous incarnation. But I was kind of expecting for the second chapter to be a little bit more something. I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for. I just thought with, you know, these other actors, James McAvoy showing up and, you know, Jessica Chastain, and there's also the guy Jay Ryan, he's playing Ben. He's on one of my favorite shows, Mary Kills People. So he's a really good actor. So I was kind of expecting them to just like up their game with the second half. I kind of also think they maybe should have shot it like they did the first time and shot them back to back, and they should have came out back to back. I know they were trying to put some time in between them, and I know there was reasonings behind that or whatever, but I still kind of disagree. They should have matrixed this and just had one half come out in the summer and the next half come out in the fall, like they did Reloaded and Revolutions. Because it didn't do anything. It hasn't made the anticipation, hasn't made it any better for me. I'm still kind of like, eh. The trailer, it had some pretty moments. Like I said, it's gorgeous. The shots are beautiful. So I give the director props for that, and the cinematographer as well. There's one shot, when you get a chance to watch the trailer, at horrorfatale.com. Will be posted. There's one where Pennywise, he's flying on a bike above the air, and all you see is these beautiful red balloons. Gorgeous shot. Not in the least scary. There's another scene. We don't know the context of the scene because it's a trailer, so everything's, you know, cut together. Again, beautiful shots of like a sewer filled with these beautiful red balloons. It's making me want to have a red balloon party of some sort. No clowns, just the balloons. But again, still just not that excited or thrilled. And I say that like I'm not going to go see it. I will be there with bells on to see Chapter 2, which comes out September 6, 2019 at a local cinema near you. So this is it for real. I'm done with this cobbled together podcast, and I promise you, well, I'm not gonna promise you, that's a lie. Hopefully it'll get better. See you next time.